All right, everybody. Welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. And today I'm bringing you a special bonus episode of the Come This Far podcast. It is a remembrance of one of my best friends that was tragically killed in a police action 4 years ago today, January 24th, 2017. Bradley Burton Moore was a childhood friend that, as fate would have it, we linked up at Fort Benning, Georgia, as both of us had gone our separate ways, and the stars aligned to have us both at airborne school at the same time. And then when we graduated from airborne school, we were both stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, different units, very different jobs. But the bond that we developed over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, was the closest bond that I've had with a friend. We shared so many things. We shared so many things as far as our stories go, growing up, similar families, just so many similarities, and we were inseparable until he deployed to Afghanistan, and then I deployed to Afghanistan shortly after, and he came home, and we linked up again. And then, you know, he got out of the military, and then I got out of the military, and we still, we're very close friends. And then, you know, tragically he died. The honor of my lifetime, one of the biggest honors, was when his family called me, and asked me to speak at his funeral, to give, the sermon, essentially at his funeral. And it was very difficult, but I was so honored to do it. And what I want to do today is, I want to read that sermon that I gave, at his funeral 4 years ago, and talk a little bit about him, to keep his memory alive. You know, I think about him so often. He is always on my mind. I have a memorial bracelet that I wear almost every day with his name and the date that he died. And he's just such a special soul, special spirit. And I feel him constantly with me in my life. Bradley Burton Moore, his nickname was B Moore or B Rad, Burton, Burt, B Burt, Bub, or any other nickname he was so lovingly given. Most people go through life without ever getting a nickname. Brad was so well liked that he had many. And, you know, all of us who knew him to varying degrees. Brad was a son, a brother, a cousin, a grandson, a nephew, an uncle, and a friend to so many. But he was so much more. Where do I even start? His smile, his laugh, and larger-than-life personality were truly contagious. Brad was an angel and a menace. He was a peacemaker and a rebel. He was a lover that could fight like no other. He was a philosopher, a poet, a hopeless romantic, and a dreamer. He was a cowboy by day, riding horses and roping with his dad, and a rock star by night, complete with a total wardrobe change, finding time to be a speedster and a motorcycle racer as well. He was a bodybuilder, at times big and strong, a personal trainer and a yoga enthusiast. He was a standout athlete, a Hollywood handsome ladies man who, regardless of where he was or what he was doing, had an uncanny ability to attract and smooth talk the most beautiful women. He always had at least one or two or three hanging on his arm. He was so cool. Every guy looked up to him and wanted to be like him, and every girl wanted to be with him or around him. He was a misfit that seemed to fit in with any crowd in any place. He was stubborn. One thing is for sure, he was not a follower. He was a leader that always marched to the beat of his own drum. A beat, by the way, that varied widely from hip hop to country, reggae to rock and roll, and even techno. Don't ask. To headbanging heavy metal. From Eminem, his lookalike, to Ellie Goulding, who he loved. Apologize by One Republic was a song that he and I would listen to over and over when it first came out and very frequently throughout the years. It was just one of the many inside jokes and hidden meanings that we shared together. He meditated often, thinking about the vast universe, different realms, higher levels of existence, and of course, many conspiracy theories. He was a soldier, an elite paratrooper in the famed 82nd Airborne Division, jumping out of airplanes over the historic drop zones of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was a combat veteran of Afghanistan, where he served as a mechanic, volunteering for the most dangerous combat duty an Army mechanic could, recovering Humvees and other military vehicles trapped or blown up in the most mountainous and hostile terrain behind enemy lines near the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. Above all, he was more than a friend, more than a brother, and I am fully aware that my bond with him was hardly unique. He seemed to form this kind of relationship with so many different people over the years. I grew up with Brad. Though we went to different schools and I was a year older, he played on my younger brother Mitch's Little League teams, and we hung out quite a bit in high school. Our families have been friends for generations. We had so much in common. We both joined the Army around the same time, and as I said, as fate would have it, we both ended up at the elite United States Army Airborne School at Fort Benning, Georgia at the same time. There we were. Just 20-year-old kids away from home for the first time. Young, brash, good-looking soldiers chasing the same dreams and running from the same demons. Having the time of our lives, jumping from airplanes with a rifle and a rucksack, we were full of life and motivation, free from the burdens that we had left behind. Though we never admitted it, we were both homesick, and seeing each other gave us both a sense of calm. Our friendship blossomed as we graduated with our jump wings pinned on our chest and were stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Our barracks rooms were a mile apart in different units. We were working very different jobs, but as soon as 5 p.m. came after a long day of training or work, we would meet up for a night of fun around the barracks or often out on the town in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fayette-Nam, as it is infamously referred to. The nights were full of excitement, laughter, adventures, danger, long talks, and deep, dark secrets. Most of the time, we would return to base around 3 a.m. with just enough time to shower and shave and make it to early morning physical training. Running 10 miles each morning was normal for paratroopers. I never knew how Brad did it, never appearing to get tired or go any other speed other than 100 miles per hour. We were inseparable. When he left for Afghanistan before I did, I was lost without him. I felt alone. But he would often call me and tell me how much fun he was having and how scary it was at the same time. Ever the adrenaline junkie, Brad enjoyed being in Afghanistan and served our country honorably. I ended up going to Afghanistan as well, and when it was all said and done, Brad and I shared even more similarities. One problematic similarity in particular that Brad and I would talk about at length, we would cry about, toss and turn, scratch and claw, and fight with every ounce of our being to shake free. We would run from it again and again, trying every single thing that we could, climbing and falling, succeeding and falling again. We both so desperately wanted to overcome these struggles. It was in these times of great despair that Brad and I grew so close. Ultimately, we had went our separate ways, traveling different roads. We were apart, but never went more than a month without a phone call that would sometimes last hours, rehashing our craziest adventures and discussing new ones. On the Friday before he died, I had a strong feeling or prompting to call him. I was concerned with our conversation, and somehow I knew he was growing tired and weary. I wished that I could have gotten to him to keep him safe, but I will always cherish that I was able to talk with him one last time. He told me he loved me like he always did, and I said, I love you too. We will figure everything out together. I'll call you soon. I'm reminded of a phone call we had a few short years ago when Brad was in the backwoods of upstate New York. He called me one evening in a period of great exhaustion and hopelessness. I hoped and prayed that he would come home. When he did, he drove all the way to Arizona and happened to pass through Safford at about 9 p.m. on his way to his parents' house in the Florence area. We met in my office and rejoiced to see each other. We laughed and cried. We hugged and we chatted about his latest adventures, adventures that sounded familiar. He mentioned how happy I looked. I told him why I was so happy. That the truths that our parents had taught us growing up, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was where I found the answer. Coming from me, I hoped it would somehow be different, and it was. I felt the Holy Spirit so strong. He asked me if I would give him a blessing. It was the most spiritual moment of my life. As I laid my hands upon his head with the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, I wanted so badly to cure him, to heal him, to take away all of his pain and replace it with everlasting comfort. We both wept in that moment. He nor I remembered the words that followed, but one thing was very apparent. He was special. A very choice spirit. One that God, our eternal Father, knows personally. He knows Brad's struggles, his pain, his choices, his actions, and the consequences that followed. But above all, he knew the purity of his heart and the pure intentions of his soul. He has a plan for Brad, and his almighty hand is directing the path that Brad is on. We don't know why these particular trials and obstacles were put in front of Brad or put in front of any of us, but our Father in heaven knows why. He is the director of our affairs. He is the architect of our path. He is the author of our stories. Brad has a purpose, and he had a purpose for being on this earth, just like all of us do. He did not fail. He touched each and every one of our lives in a way that nobody could but him. His whole life is a testament to who he was and what he taught us. He was a constant example of showing non-judgmental compassion for the sick and afflicted and those less fortunate. He taught us to understand alternative ways of thinking. His enthusiasm for the small and precious things in this world taught us to slow down and be more mindful of all of our many blessings. His ability to say the right thing at exactly the right time to get us through the hardest of times, the way he joked, laughed, loved, and lived gave all of us so much joy. The way he fought for what he believed in, the way he defended those he loved and cared for, the way he lifted others' burdens, even when he could not bear his own. The way he picked himself up each and every time he fell, determined to try again. The way he taught us all the eternal virtues of patience, kindness, and charity. The passion that he had for life, the way he lived life to the fullest every single day on earth. Sure, it's no secret that Brad wasn't perfect, that he had weaknesses. Brad had great obstacles that he stumbled over again and again. But who among us hasn't? Who among us is perfect? Nobody is. We all fall short. The one good thing about all of this is that this is not the end, not even close. Brad's story doesn't end here. There's so much more in store for him. He has simply moved on to the next phase of a grand plan that was put forth in the beginning by a loving Father in heaven. No, Brad has not escaped the consequences of his earthly mistakes, but his spirit, his soul is free of his mortal pain, and only God can judge him for what he is rightly accountable for. The good that Brad did far outweighs any of the bad. He's in a place now where he is safe and where he can continue to progress. Brad's family is entirely at peace with where he is. Of course, they are devastated and will miss him every single day. But they have a firm belief in the gospel doctrine that teaches us that our spirits are divine and they are eternal, that they existed long before we were born, and they will continue on forever after we die. While most of us focus only on our life here on earth, God's plan for us includes our entire existence. We must exercise great faith when trying to understand His vantage point, because our concepts of time and purpose are limited by the mortal lens through which we view them. Accordingly, we have difficulty envisioning the limitlessness of eternity and eternal progression. God's plan of salvation for us included leaving His presence in the premortal world to achieve the kind of progression only possible through an earthly existence. The earth is a place where we gain physical bodies, exercise agency, grow in wisdom, faith, and compassion, where we build relationships with others and perform holy ordinances necessary for our salvation. During our mortal life, we must put forth great effort in these things. Indeed, Brad put forth a great and valiant effort. Unlike our Savior Jesus Christ, we all sin and we all fall short as we strive for this perfection. To balance the scales of justice, the Savior atoned for our sins, ensuring that our physical death would not be the end of our progression. This gift of resurrection is freely given to all of us. After death, we enter the spirit world where we no longer have physical distractions or mortal pain while we await our resurrection and final judgment of Jesus Christ. We will become acutely aware of our actions, decisions, and sins, and we must face them head on. But God is compassionate, and even there, He allows us to progress and to be taught things we still need to learn. We can continue to learn about and benefit from the atonement of Jesus Christ, faith in God and the Savior, repentance, and the fullness of the gospel. When my friend Brad closed his eyes for the last time on earth, he passed through the veil and moved to a different realm where his eternal eyes opened to a marvelous reality, where he witnessed the glory of God. Family and friends who preceded him met Brad after death and warmly welcomed him to their presence. Brad is very aware of everything going on here. I've held him close since he passed, and I feel him closely today. I am certain that he is sorry for the pain that his death has caused us, but I know that he would not want us to be overwhelmed with sorrow. We can ask ourselves a million what-ifs. I have every day since he passed. But he would want us instead to ask, what can I do now? What can I do to live in such a way to honor him? We can look deep within ourselves and find many things that we can improve upon. We can commit to live a life that would make Brad happy. His truest desires was to be completely free of the mortal burdens that plagued him. As one of his closest friends, I can say that he would want us to be completely free of those same things. I know without any doubt that he will promptly and fully accept the healing power of grace through the Savior Jesus Christ. I know this because I know Brad. I know what he desires. I know what he is made of. I know what his wonderful parents and family taught him was retained, and I know that he took that knowledge with him. I know through the power of the infinite atonement of our Savior, we all can attain that same healing if we humbly and prayerfully seek it with full faith believing. I know that we can and will see Brad again, and on that glorious day, he will be shining with the radiant beam of happiness and love, only possible through forgiveness and obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I testify that this is true. I testify that Jesus Christ lives, that he is the Son of a living God who loves us and knows each of us personally. Because of his sacrifice for us, our burdens may be lighter, our sorrow and grief may be bearable especially during difficult times, and that we may all live our lives in a way that would honor Brad is the fervent prayer of my heart. Humbly, in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, what I have just shared is probably the most religious thing that you have ever heard me say. I don't shy away from my beliefs. I don't shy away from talking about the thing that I know has gotten me through the most difficult trials that one could imagine. I don't shy away from talking about why I'm alive today and my purpose on this earth. This podcast is not a religious one, and so I don't often share that testimony. But today, on the Sabbath day, on Sunday, January 24th, 2021, I am not ashamed to wholeheartedly and full-throatedly, if that's a word, stand up and say that I believe everything that I said in this sermon 4 years ago. I have been through major trials since then. I have stumbled. I have fallen. I have been successful. I have learned, and I have grown, and I will continue to do that because I'm a human being. All of us are human beings, and all of us come from the same God, where whoever you believe that to be. I do believe that it is so important to have a level of spirituality in your life. And no, that doesn't mean that you have to go to a church. Spirituality is defined by a personal relationship with a power that is bigger than you, that motivates you to seek personal revelation, to seek personal growth and progression, to be a part of something that's bigger than yourselves, to give freely of your time and your talents, to help other people, to not judge them, to be compassionate and caring and kind. This is what is missing in our world. And it does not have to be Christianity. Some of the best people I know are not Christians, and it does not matter to me. What matters is if you strive to be a better person. I personally attest that my relationship with Jesus Christ is the bottom line reason that I have survived so many trials, and that I have overcome them, and that I continue to walk this path, and I put one foot in front of the other. I miss Brad. I love Brad. I honor Brad. I teach my children about him and about who he was and about what he taught me and the great times that we had. I love his parents. I love his family. I keep in contact with them. I feel impressed to just let all of you know that it doesn't matter where you are in your personal journey. Every day the sun comes up, and during that day you have choices to make, and you can choose to go down a path of progression and of education and of seeking to be a better person, or you can decide to be stuck and to go backwards and to not be compassionate. To not have empathy. Being kind is a choice. That's the best choice that we can make, is to simply be kind, to stop judging one another, to love one another, to seek those people that you can help. And those of us who have struggled and who have fought the battle of addiction and who are continuing to fight that battle each day, there are so many people that are suffering in silence that think that nobody can understand what they're going through. That is why I do this. That is why I tell my story. That is why I tell my friends stories like Brad. Because none of us are alone. and we need to be there for each other. So Brad, on this 4-year anniversary of your passing, though I miss you and I love you, I don't mourn your loss anymore. I rejoice in having the experiences that I had to be your earthly friend. And I know and rejoice in the absolute knowledge that I have that I will see you again, that your family will see you again, that you are up there doing amazing work, that you are helping so many people from the other side of the heavenly veil. And I feel you. And I know that you've been with me, especially this last year. I know that you were with me that night that I survived my ordeal, my overdose. And I can just say thank you, and that I love you and I miss you, and that I will see you again. Thanks for listening to this special bonus episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. We will be back next week. I hope you all have a great rest of your day and rest of your week. Thanks again for listening.